Amen. Thank you very much. The Morrisons have been great. Amen. We've been blessed already. Take your Bibles this morning and go to Psalms chapter number 34. Psalms 34 this morning. And am I going to be able to get on this other thing? Question? Amen. It's there. Just turn it up. You want me to move it up? All right.
Amen. Just trying not to blow everybody's eardrums.
Give it up. All right, I'm going to give it up. All right. All right, so just imagine me running around. Amen. Psalms 34 this morning. I do appreciate everybody being here. Many of you may know what Anniversary Sunday is to our church. It's meant 50 years of the same pastor for many years, and now two for me here. And so I have been blessed to be here the last couple years and blessed. If you're here and you don't have a church that you attend on a regular basis, I would recommend this church, not because I'm its pastor, but because of the people. There's no place like this place. And God brought us to this place as young people, and brought my family here and began to raise them here. God took me away for a little while to serve in my home church that I grew up in for the first 30 years of my life, and we were able to return home to be able to serve here. And then God moved us into a place of service as the pastor. And so I'm blessed. I thank you so much for being here on this, our special occasion as a church, and I hope it is a special day to you. But we would, if you're looking for a church home where people will love you and welcome you, this is that place. In Psalms 34, we find that David, in the psalm, is recording a time of his life under the inspiration of God. He's going to say some things. And if we were to take time to read the entire chapter, we would talk about some prophetical things, even about the Lord Jesus Christ. But today I want to explain the chapter, and I have very little time. So I pray that you can listen quickly as I preach as fast as I possibly can. Amen. I do welcome you, and I thank you for being here. I do want to pray and ask the Lord to bless us this morning and bless His Word, and that I know it will not return void, but I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit of God will do a work in all of us this morning from His Word. Let's pray together. Dear God, as we come to you, Lord, I know that you are so good. I've been blessed. Lord, I pray that in this building, no doubt, there are folks who know you and have trusted in you as their Savior. And Holy Spirit of God, I pray that they would be blessed today, not only through the singing, but from your word. Some folks in this room, Lord, are discouraged because of circumstances of this life. And they've come to this place and they found a place of rest for just a few minutes. And I pray that your word would be a word of comfort that they could leave this place with and hold on to this week. I pray for those, Lord, that came into this place and they don't know how good God can be because they've never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And today I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would draw those folks unto the Lord Jesus Christ, into accepting Him as their Savior. And Lord, I pray that no person in this building would leave this place without the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalms 31, we'll read the first 9 verses, and then I'll try to do my best to begin to explain it for the tape room. For the tape room, the title of the message is The 3 O's. The 3 O's that make every anniversary happy. The 3 O's that make every anniversary happy. And I've got a confused look from everybody. So let's read the scripture. Here we go. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord, look at this, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. These 9 verses are in this chapter, and it goes on, but If you read the little title, maybe your Bible has it above there. It says this about the writing of the chapter that we have, this song itself. It says, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I don't know if you know the Old Testament story, and for time's sake this morning, I will not go and read it. But if you want to mark it down and read it after the service, 1 Samuel chapter 21 marks the time that David changed his behavior before Abimelech. If you read the chapter, you will find it uses a term for Abimelech, Achish. And that man is Achish, king of Gath. And earlier in the chapter, it may be confusing to you when you go through, so I'm just going to give you a small bit of history. But Abimelech is there as one of the priests mentioned in the chapter, so if you're not careful. But the name Abimelech in the same chapter is there. They use the actual name of the king of Gath, but Abimelech was actually like Pharaoh or Herod, or a title that the king of Gath would hold. So here the psalm gets it right. And again, anytime you hear people say that the King James Bible is not perfect, if you just study it a little bit, you'll find that some things that people believe are glaring contradictions, they're just apparent to you. And if you studied it out just a little bit, you'd learn that this book is perfect and does not contradict itself. So this morning, as we see this and we go over this, David has gone down in the story of 1 Samuel chapter 21. You'll see that David has just left from speaking with Jonathan, his friend, and he realizes he can't go home anymore. He's homeless, he's been run off by Saul, and he's beginning his journey on the run. He knows that he's been anointed king over Israel, but that was in the future, and he finds himself in the midst of not knowing what to do. David has always followed the word of God and has been a man after God's own heart. But now when the leaders all around him are doing wrong, David doesn't know what to do. He finds himself in a land where his father-in-law wants to kill him. He finds himself in a terrible way, and he runs away, and he finds himself down there with the priest. He's hungry. He's running away from home. He's needing to get some food together as he's on his journey. And he goes in to the temple there, really just into the little, if you would, just place where the priest is. And he looks over at the table of showbread there in Nod, and he looks over and realizes that they're about to switch out the bread. Do you got any bread? And they're about to put hot, fresh bread out on the table. And he says, I don't have any bread but this old bread. And again, reading in the chapter, he says, if you've kept yourself pure, you can have this bread. Well, David, again, he specifically uses, and when you read it, he talks about how and what area of his life he's kept pure. And David agrees to that, and he tells him he's got to head on a journey. He says, is there a sword in this place? Is there a sword or a spear in this place? And he says, there's nothing but this old sword from Goliath. And David said, man, give it to me, because there's none like that sword. Now listen, David is excited because he remembers back. He knows who he is. He knows what God has done and what God, hopefully he's kind of going to look forward and what God is going to do. But he's down and out at that point of his life. And it encourages him that a past battle and a past victory, God has provided a defense for him in the nasty now and now of his life. And he takes a sword, and he goes to a place that he shouldn't go. He goes down out of the country of Israel because he thinks, if they're going to hunt for me, they're not going to go hunt me at the enemy. He thinks to himself, just like some Christians do, I'll go down here. Nobody knows who I am. They don't know what God I serve. They don't know who I am. But he doesn't think. He's on the run. How many Christians run from God and start thinking, nobody knows who I am? They don't know I'm a Christian down here. All along, dressing different, looking different, acting different, and carrying the sword of somebody that everybody down there knows. of a giant that you killed. Listen, when you're a Christian and you get saved and you come out of the world, if you go back to the world, you know the world can smell it on you. Didn't you just tell me last week that God gave you victory over this? Didn't you just tell me last week that God gave you, I mean, God saved your soul and you're going to follow him? Listen, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself right in David's area. And he goes down there and they say, is not this David who is king? Oh, and they don't say over the lands of Israel, they know that they're in God's chosen people's lands. The Philistines, according to the scriptures, say, is not this David which is king over this land? They know who God anointed. They know that Saul was going to be put out. They know who he is, and they know how bad God, when God used him, he took down the baddest soldier they had on the battlefield. They knew exactly who he was. And David begins to get scared for his life. I've run out of God's land, down in the midst of ungodly people who I can't hide among because they know who I am. And he begins to write this. I mean, he writes this psalm to remember this, because you know what he does to get out of it? You know, just like you, what do? When you don't know what to do. David, instead of turning to God and begging, that's what he does here. He talks about how good God is. David starts to act like a crazy man. Do you know what happens to you when you get scared? What happened to the world when COVID came out? Everybody acted like a crazy man. He said he ran over and started scribbling on the wall. He was probably twirling his hair. Then he started letting spit drip down his beard, because that's not natural. All right? For anybody that wants to do that, that's not natural. You ladies don't have to worry about it because you don't wear a beard, right? You said all them men look crazy, right? Anyway, so, I mean, he's starting to do crazy things, and then they run him off. Just like the beginning of this psalm says. And David, when he gets run out of town, he is thankful because he realizes God has delivered him out of his own stupidity. That he ran from one enemy to another. How often as a Christian do we run from one enemy to another? Hey, if you're here this morning and you're not sure you're saved, you ran out of the world because you knew salvation wasn't there. And you ran into a place that you say, these people are different. And if you're not careful this morning, you'll start thinking that you'll start making more enemies when God has brought you to a place where he loves you. They sang about it already this morning. He sent his son to die on Calvary for you. Do you know what most of us say when we're in times of trouble? In this chapter, we see, oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, fear the Lord. You know, all those are good O's. Hey, how about you? I've heard some things. You know what I'm talking about? When somebody says, watch this. And then all of us go, oh, man. Oh, boy. You ever been around? O's can be good, and they can be real bad. Oh, goodness, right? All those things that people say when people crash and burn. I've heard some old folks with gray hair watch young people and they get by and I'll hear them say, oh man, or oh, I hope that God watches over them in this. Oh, they ought to know better. Oh, you know, O is one of those things in the scripture. It can contain so many things. We can go, oh, magnify the Lord with me. You know what O is? It's all you all. Oh! Say, you gone crazy, preacher. No, when the Lord gives this psalm to David, he's so excited he don't want to just praise the Lord by himself. How about this? When somebody is saying, watch out, right? Oh, I can't believe they went there. Oh, I can't believe they did that. I've watched people and go, don't do that. And then I go, oh, man. They took a step. Sometimes, even in this life, I've thought to myself, oh, I wished that they had listened to the preaching. Oh, I wish. Listen, think about this. In the New Testament, Paul says, in his preaching, and he really isn't preaching, he's just giving his testimony. But it sure sounds like preaching, doesn't it? And he wishes in himself sometimes that he was a curse for his people's sake. And other times he wishes that they were all together converted or a believer, that they had trusted in Jesus Christ. Listen, this morning, Anniversary Sunday is a day. You know what the word actually means, anniversary? I don't know if you know it goes back. It actually is a church word, first used in the church in the 13th century. The word itself is just simply stated, returning with the revolution of the year. Every year it turns over and it comes back to the same place. And every time, you know, we kind of hold to New Year's, but there are special anniversaries. I have a wedding anniversary. It's special to me. It marks every year. And that is a big, oh, I like being married. Right? Now, we realize what happens in the revolution of the year matters a lot, what that O means. Whether it's, oh, I'm glad to be married, or, oh, I hope it's a better year next year. Right? Hey, anniversary for a church could be the same way. Right? We've had some good years and some bad years. For you, how about anniversary of my salvation? Do you know when my anniversary rolls around? I got saved on March 23rd, 1989. 15-year-old boy at a youth rally. And when that comes around every year, I say, oh, man, I'm so glad that I accepted Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that he came into my life. I'm so glad. Oh, I am so glad that I'm not the same man that I used to be. Hey, there's some O's in my life. I see here in the scripture that the first three verses, there is humble praise of the Lord. I see in the next three verses, there is a history and a proof of God's provision for the man that will give himself to the Lord. And then I see this. Lastly, I see a happiness in his presence. Do you know, think about this, where it talks about the angel of the Lord in verse 7 and campeth about. You know, the presence of the Lord feels like protection to me. You know, even as a saved man, I realize I could never keep my salvation that God purchased for me. And I'm thankful that he sent his Holy Spirit to seal me into the day of redemption. Do you know, there's a lot of people that are still trying to work on to holding on to salvation when salvation entirely is the work of God. God the Father chose us before the foundation of the world, and he sent his only begotten Son to die on Calvary and to purchase salvation for me through his blood, and he sent his Holy Spirit to keep it for me until he returns for his purchased possession. But man, the three O's of this chapter, how about you today? Can you say, oh, in verse 3 of the chapter, oh, magnify the Lord? So what do you mean, magnify the Lord? Can God get any bigger? No. Do you know when I like to collect coins? Anybody? I mean, you know, people collect stamps. They collect all kinds of things. Bottle caps. I collect U.S. coins. All right? Because at least they're going to be worth, I hope, maybe if we... Anyway, I'm not even going to go into politics. All right? So... But you know, I take out a magnifying glass to see the coin better. The coin don't get bigger. The coin doesn't change size. I just throw the magnifying glass on it so that I can see what was always there. Do you know what sometimes people in this world need as a Christian getting so excited about their God? They say, oh, magnify the Lord. Look at how good he is. You know, when I get up and praise Him, this book is full of praise, and God is always the same. He doesn't change one day. His goodness is good. His mercy, His grace. Every day of the day, every year, every anniversary that clicks by, God is still good. But when I tell about how good He's been to me, it magnifies the Lord. Because now people don't just see God afar off. They see He was good to me. And if He can be good to me, a nobody, a sinner saved by grace, and He can be good to them. He can be so great to them. He can be magnified in their life if they'll allow it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Hey, folks, I want you to know that there's no good in me. I grew up in church. And I'd like to tell you I got saved by accident, but that ain't the way it happened. God sought me on purpose. He saw me a long way off, and He sent His Son to die for me. And then He sent a preacher to come to my town and bury Himself there and work and dig and preach and take out tracts. And boy, one day I was in a meeting where I heard the good word of God, and God saved me. And it changed my whole life. And I wanted to spend every day since that day letting people know He's worth magnifying. Today, if you're here and you have never been saved, it'll be the best day of your life. Oh man, you don't even know. I pray you'd come down at the end of the service and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know Him for sure. Oh, I can't tell you. I want to represent all of my desire for you to be saved with just a great big oh. Because I can't put it in words how important it is. It's only eternity for you. It's only the best life on this side of heaven that you could ever live. He says, number two, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. See, people are saved by faith. Do you know that my wife, just the other day, she's been making some new stuff. It's a brand new year, and so we got to try out whatever cookbook she got for Christmas. I like her old cooking. I don't know why she's got to go get a new book, but maybe she gets tired of cooking the same thing. Amen. I'm just glad she don't get tired of being married in the same revolution to the same old man. Amen. But I mean, she made something, you know. And there's some things that come out and I go, oh. And there's some stuff I try to sound like that, but it comes out more like, oh. And somehow she has been married to me long enough that she knows the difference. Y'all pray for me. But you know, sometimes I see it and it don't look like it's worth eating. Not because it's burnt, right? My wife has been cooking a long time. She moved way past that burning, you know, water thing. She's a good cook, but sometimes the way it's put together, I think, man, that, I don't know. But you know how it is? I give it the old smell test. And I go, oh. Maybe it ain't what it looks like. And then I have to, by faith, trust that she loves me. And that this, all that she put in there was because she wanted it to be a good thing for me. Do you know my wife is good to me? She loves me and I can trust her and I can stick the fork in and I can taste and see that it's good. How much more, if my wife is a good lady and she loves me, how much more does God, who sent His Son to die for you, love you? And many of you this morning, you're like, man, God wants you to step out in some other area of your life and trust Him with it. And you got the fork and you know, you're just, it's scared because it's a step of faith. I've never been this way before. And some of you, you need to step out in faith and trust in God to save you this morning. And you're worried. You're like, well, I'm going to lose all my friends. Do you know you're going to gain some friends too? Do you know, I'm gonna lose all my partying and fun. Do you know God has some good fun for you lined up? I mean, all the things that you think could go terribly wrong, why don't you just taste and see that the Lord is good? That the one that sent his son to die for you has got the best life that you could ever live planned for you. If you would just dig in and eat up and just trust God, taste and see that the Lord is good. How about this? He says, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Do you know blessed is happy in the Bible? That means I'm going to be blessed. Yes, I'm blessed, but we always are concerned about temporary happiness. But you know, God can give true joy. When other things come and go, and man, it was fun for 2 days, but then it was terrible. You know, that's the way the world parties. They have one good night and then they have to sleep it off and try to walk it off for a couple days. But that's not how God has fun. That's not how God blesses. That's not what God wants for his people. God wants you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Trust him and walk out on faith and see what a life God you could have if you just... And then afterwards you go, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He says this lastly, and this may trip you up, because this is where we don't need to fear the things of this world or man or anything created by man. We need to fear the Lord. Do you know that the beginning of wisdom, see, I mean, oh, magnify the Lord. I heard the preacher that night that I got saved. He just got excited about the Lord and talked to me about there was only one way to heaven, and it was through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that I couldn't get there on my own or works or anything, but I had to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he just magnified the Savior. And I said, oh, I want that. And I walked an aisle and received it just by calling out into him and ask him for it. Then I tasted and saw that the Lord was good. I walked an aisle when I got home and I told the whole church what I did. I wasn't ashamed of it. I just got saved. I told everybody. I got in the baptismal tank. I just kept digging in and said, man, I'm going to taste and see how good God is. And then I served him. And then I jumped in deeper and he called me into his ministry. God has been good, and I have never, ever been in God's word, in God's work. I've never tasted anything that worth eating. You say, what about the people? That's a whole different story. But you know what? If I had to rate, listen, I'm going to tell you. God has been so good to me. How about you? You know, we can mark that one person. I could say, oh, that one person. But when I really sit down and think about all the wonderful people that God has brought into my life, that I would not be here, I would say, oh, God, how good you've been to me. Oh, God, how good you've been to me to bring so many good people into my life that have invested in me and lifted me up when I was down, helped me when I needed help. Oh, I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. His people have been so good to me. And then he says, and oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Do you know with wisdom, you know what fear is? Fear is just reverence of God. That means I trust him and reverence him enough to follow his way and his word. Do you know a lot of times people will taste and see that the Lord is good, but they don't eat as much as they eat. You know, every day you need to eat. Some of you eat 3 or 4 times a day, right? Do you know that if you only ate as many times as you came to church, you'd be hungry? Like you're hungry right now for a hot dog. Anything, because my belly is screaming right now. Right? Hey, folks, I'm just telling you. You know that fearing the Lord, taste and seeing the Lord is good. Fearing the Lord, you know, as a believer, I've learned that when I just trust God and just say, oh, God, I trust you. Oh, God, I fear you enough to do exactly what your word says. Not to lean unto my own understanding, but to trust you at face value according to your word. Do you know that every time, I'm not rich today, folks, but I don't have any wants. I don't have everything that the Johnsons and the Smiths have. We have both of those families in the church, and I may not have everything that they have. But I got no wants. God has taken care of my family. You say, how did he take care of you? He just took care of me according to his word. I just followed him. I followed his word and his way. Hey, today, you know, on the anniversary, wouldn't it be something if a year from now you stepped out in faith and received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Wouldn't that be something if by next year you could say, oh, magnify the Lord with me? You said, because I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Look at my life and how different it is because I feared God and I put it into practice in my life. I followed his word, his way, his plan for me. Listen, this morning, you know that you could start that and you could have an anniversary of three O's. Three O's of your life. Oh, magnify the Lord. You know, one of the greatest ways that you can magnify God is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Doing exactly what he's asked you to do. Do you know the best way you could do that afterwards is taste and see that the Lord is good. And after you've accepted Jesus Christ, you join his church through baptism. You say, preacher, what about fearing God? That means fearing God. God said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. What is the first third thing I should do? Then I should reverence God's house and be in it so I can learn all about his ways every time the doors are open. You say, preacher, I could have an anniversary like that? Yes. And then you would say, you could say to so many others, I've magnified the Lord with my life. I've accepted him. Boy, not only have I accepted him, but boy, I followed him. I tasted how good God was by getting into his church. And I've been faithful. I feared God and departed from evil. And I came to his church, and boy, it's changed me. I started this whole thing by telling you what a blessing it is to be a member and the pastor of the Landmark Baptist Church. Listen, folks, I'm looking out at Christians that if we had time today for them to give testimony of the goodness of God, we couldn't mark it all down. There wouldn't be enough pen or ink. There wouldn't be enough digital recording to record all the goodness of God to the people in this room. Listen today. You ought to mark some anniversaries in your life. You know, it's always good. I am happily married every day of my life. But there's one day that we mark down as an anniversary. We do some things special. Here, today, you're here for a special anniversary of our church. Every Sunday, we mark the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Sunday we preach salvation, but on this Sunday we have a big day because we just mark and just it's been another year of how good God has been to us. Today, I'm thankful that you came today, and I pray that, hey, today was a day we all magnified the Lord together. That you tasted and saw that the Lord was good again if you're saved. But if you're here and you don't know Christ, the Bible clearly says to accept Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. But that no man would come unto the Father but by him. That means it's exclusive. The only way you can be saved is by trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I ask you to stand to your feet. Our musicians would come. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I would ask you to meet me in the front. I've told you how good God is. Will you come and taste and see that the Lord is good for yourself? I'll meet you in the front. As the musicians play, you come. If you're a Christian and you need to pray, why don't you step out and come? If you're here and you want to join a church like this, either through baptism or by statement, I'll meet you in the front as well. You come and do what God asks.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come just as I am, and waiting not.
you bow your head with me this morning? If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure if you died right now that you go to heaven, would you just step out and walk an old-fashioned aisle and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? We'd love to meet you here and do that, as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears, of God I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched blind, rich is he.
If you've done what God asked you to do, I appreciate you staying in an attitude of prayer. And God has been working. A lot of folks desiring membership, some needing prayer, some wanting to come back to the Lord. Amen. So I want you to, if you would, and bow your head and just ask the Lord to do His will and His work. I feel like He's not done yet this morning, and I don't want to shortcut God and what He's doing. And so today, as Brother Bert sings, we want to give you another opportunity to step out and be saved. I know that my dad came to a church much like this and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he put a death grip on the pew and he didn't walk, and they finished the invitation. If you're like that this morning, then why don't you just give in to God? Why don't you just give in to Him and taste and see that the Lord is good? Why don't you step out and just walk down while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody's looking. Why don't you step out and come and meet me in the front? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Brother Burke, what would you say?
Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight rich is he.
Among us, I appreciate your prayers ahead of time. And now if you're here, we still have time for you. Folks have come and they're taking the Bible and showing them how to be saved, but maybe you still need to come. Some have come and asked God to restore their lives. They've been saved here, they've been baptized here, but it's been a long time since they've been here, and they want God to restore. You can come like that. You say, how does that work, preacher? I have to humble myself and come down before the church. Well, that's a really good start. You want the church to reach out and help, and a helping hand to you. We need to know that you need help. So this morning, if you're here and you need that, why don't you come? If you're here and you need to be saved and you've been holding on like others, they've walked and they've gotten saved, why don't you step out and come this morning? Do whatever it is that God asks you to do, as Brother Burt sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God. Wilt
y'all be seated as the piano continues to play. There are folks being dealt with. I appreciate you waiting so long, and I would like for you to be able to be seated. We want to share with you just all the things the Lord has done today. We thank you for being so patient this morning with us as folks come to know the Lord, as folks are being restored to their church. Some folks want to come and be baptized and join the local church. And so I appreciate you being so patient.